Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Hope you're all doing well. Remember, get over to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. They get all the episodes, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the social media is on there at the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. So it's nothing new knowing that the progressive left is full of, they're full of master manipulators and completely control the Democratic Party as we know it today. 100% master manipulators. They're very good at it. They're devious, not trying to come off any certain way about it, but it's true. And as long as they have the mainstream and legacy media just constantly spewing their propaganda and nonsense, they can turn any obvious, blatant lie into their truth for their sick, progressive followers. And unfortunately, they're vulnerable, brainwashed followers who don't know any better. But I'm not talking about basic political ideologies that people can easily disagree on by the way those ideologies are interpreted or how people interpret them. I'm talking about just blatant, straight-out lies that the Democrats, they use to forward that manipulative, ridiculously false, blatant lies, just chock full of lies, the narrative that they try to spew. Someone tell me, where on God's green earth could anyone come up with this moronic idea that Republicans are responsible for defunding the police? Please. Please, someone help me out with this. Where did they pull this from? This is, you read nonsense all the time. I probably read a lot more nonsense than you because I'm constantly just looking for the nonsense and trying to just read things and can't get away from the nonsense. But where could they have possibly come up with Republicans responsible for defunding the police? This is great spin. This is unbelievable. Republicans responsible for defunding the police, this is what they're saying. This is from the White House, okay? This is from idiots who call themselves journalists like Chris Wallace, CNN, or was it Chris Wallace? He's is he CNN, Fox? I don't remember. It's hard to keep track of these idiots. That mixed gender potato head, Brian Stelter, he's at CNN. But this is part of the new narrative now, that Republicans are responsible for defunding the police. But their reasoning is unbelievable, how they spin it. You know, they spin it with this American Rescue Plan because Republicans voted against it. We'll talk about that. You have crime spikes all over the country in Democrat-run cities. The summer of 2020, you had domestic terrorists waving Black Lives Matter and Antifa flags. They were allowed to burn cities down. They were allowed to assault citizens. They were allowed to take over areas of cities, making them autonomous zones. These same Democrat-run cities voted to defund police budgets and not allow their police to enforce laws. Moved billions, millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars out of their police budgets. Their police were unable to efficiently police. Obviously, cities, billions and billions of dollars in property damage, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, for nonsense, social justice, racial justice, bullshit justice. Remember all the Democrat so-called lawmakers who called for the defunding, dismantling, and abolishment of the police departments. There were quite a few of them. I mean, obviously, you have to remember this.
Yes, I support the defund movement because this is about the investment in our communities, which have historically been divested.
Not only do we need to defund, but we need to dismantle and start anew.
Why use the word defund? Why use the word defund? And it's like, this is the word that's coming from the streets.
Look, the reality is we can't rely upon the police to provide public safety.
Those aren't Republicans running their idiotic mouths about defunding the police or dismantling police. Remember that? Ilhan Omar, Cori Bush, AOC, Ayanna Pressley. The Democrats lost seats in the House in the 2020 election cycle for running with that defund the police bullshit. They admitted to it. They knew it was a big reason they lost so many seats. They knew. And they, you know, they tried to spin that too. So what do they do now? They attempt to spin it because they're worried about the midterms. Midterms are coming. Midterms are creeping. There's a lot of movement going on out there. So they'll spin it and say, well, Republicans voted against the American Rescue Plan. So in turn, they voted to defund the police in America. What does that even mean? The American Rescue Plan doesn't mention police or law enforcement in the plan for any type of funding. But this is how they spin it. Now, here's the problem. They can manipulate idiots using leftist mainstream media owned by leftist corporations to spread that lie, to push that narrative. Jen Psaki can stand behind her podium that says the White House on it and spread lies and propaganda and to Democrats and Trump haters, that's as good as the senile old man who's taking a nap in the back saying it himself. It's gold. It's gospel. Because Jen Psaki said it. That's the woke sickness. And the propaganda that's spewed, they just exploit. It's like Democrat lawmakers treat Democrat voters as if they're stupid idiots. Most of them are, unfortunately. If you take offense to that, maybe you should look at where your vote's going and who you're donating to, what your political affiliation is. Wake up. Jen Psaki says Republicans voted against the American Rescue Plan, therefore voted to defund the police. She said it with a straight face, no problem, and that's how heavily engorged in the propaganda bullshit they're in. Listen to this redheaded rodent.
Something one of the advisors said this weekend, Cedric Richmond, he said, Republicans defunded the police by not supporting the American Rescue Plan. But how is it that that is an argument to be made when the president never mentioned needing money for police to stop a crime wave when he was selling the American Rescue Plan?
Well, the president did mention that the American Rescue Plan, the state and local funding, something that was supported by the president, a lot of Democrats who supported and voted for the bill, could help ensure local cops were kept on the beat in communities across the country. As you know, didn't receive a single Republican vote. That funding has been used to keep cops on the beat.
But at the time that was sold as these local police departments might have a pandemic-related budget shortfall, not we need to keep cops on the beat because there's a crime wave.
I think that any local department would argue that keeping cops on the beat to keep communities safe when they had to, because of budget shortfalls, fire police is something that helped them address crime in their local communities.
In the local communities, the White House's argument was the American Rescue Plan is going to be $1,400 checks. It's going to be vaccines, vaccinators. It's going to put us on the path to beating the virus. Not.
It did those things as well. It was a pretty good bill and piece of legislation.
So, Republicans voted against the American Rescue Plan, therefore voting to defund the police because money from the American Rescue Plan going to cities was meant to keep police officers on the beat, as Jen Psaki would say it. There were no budget cuts in any of these cities that they were firing police officers or not hiring police officers. Police officers were retiring or leaving the job in droves. They were defunding the police, these Democrat-run cities, putting their funding into mental health and housing, not buying police the equipment that they need or the training that they need, or not hiring new police officers because, well, defund the police, that means what do we even need the police for? We don't need that many of them. So, if they can play, they, Democrats, Psaki, Biden, Harris, all of those morons on the left, I can't even be nice about it anymore, people. I can't. If they can play this up enough, they can get some weak-minded independents. I won't call them idiots, independents. They're independents. They can go either way. Weak-minded, independent, maybe even some really weak-minded Republicans that are very center, that can be swayed any which way, to vote for Democratic candidates in the 2022 election cycle, in the midterms. Not one time, not one, is the word police or law enforcement or any type of police or law enforcement funding mentioned in the American Rescue Plan when it comes to any type of funding, anything. Again, cities didn't fire or lay off or furlough police officers due to financial struggles. So everything Jen Psaki said is completely false. Police officers retiring, leaving because they're not allowed to do their jobs, because their Democratic mayors or governors say so. Jen Psaki could not name one Republican who supported defunding any type of police or law enforcement. Not one. But look at the Democrats that want to defund the police. Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts, she made some ridiculous comments. Ilhan Omar, defund and dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department on her soapbox. AOC, defund the New York City Police, which Mayor de Blasio did. And he took, I think, a couple billion out of their budget and put it towards mental health and housing. A lot of good that did, because there's shootings in broad daylight. Washington Square Park is a drug den. They're having illegal fight nights there. I think like it's almost like a chicken, like illegal cockfights. They have homeless people fighting each other, like betting on them. Needles all over the park. People getting shot in broad daylight in beautiful parts of New York City, Upper East Side, Upper West Side. Why? Because criminals are emboldened. Why not? Because Democrats love their criminals. Democrats love their cashless bail. Go and commit crimes, you'll be out in time for dinner and do it all over again. Kamala Harris, when she was a senator, she praised the mayor of Los Angeles to find other ways to direct funding. In other words, defund the police. I'm all for it. Cori Bush, another member of Congress, she's nothing but an activist. She's a racist activist. She wants to do away with the police. She wants to have a federal oversight committee about law enforcement. And it's on and on and on. The blatant lies. I understand politics where you have to spin things. But when you are just blatantly lying about something like this, how do you do it with a straight face? Right now, Democrat-run cities are hellholes and riddled with crime. Again, shootings in broad daylight. Shootings skyrocketing. Homicides are up by extraordinary numbers. Some places, hundreds of percent. Mayor Lori Lightheaded. Lightfoot, Lightheaded. They have so many names for her. They call Beetlejuice, the Chicago mayor. She's worrying more about the color of the skin of the reporter asking her questions than doing something about the 70 to 100 shootings a weekend. Any weekend. Oh, 50 shot this weekend. 30-something shot this weekend. 4th of July weekend, there was like 96 people shot. I think 6 of them were dead. Maybe even more of them were dead. And now, you know, back around the same time, 2020, she said she would not allow Trump's troops to come into her city. But now, fast forward a year later, she's asking the president of the United States, Joe Biden, for help for her criminally just riddled, disgusting hellhole of a city. She's busy taking pictures, posing with her wife there, Herman Munster, with fireworks in the background. Democrat support still and supported and are continuing to support and voted for cashless bail, which just, again, emboldens criminals. They go out there, they commit more crimes. They're decriminalizing theft of hundreds of dollars or even thousands. And again, criminals are out there just robbing more, shooting more, stabbing more, assaulting more, raping more. Why not? Why not? They'll get out of jail. No problem. Meanwhile, every Republican I see is calling to fund and defend the police. Unfortunately, you know, media will ask stupid questions like, because Republicans voted against the American Socialism Plan, in other words, the American Rescue Plan, doesn't that mean Republicans voted to defund the police? No, idiots. No, Chris Wallace. Listen to this leftist idiot, Chris Wallace. Listen to this.
But Congressman Banks, let me push back on that a little bit, because in the program that he announced this week, the president said that the central part of his anti-crime package is the $350 billion in the American Rescue Plan, the COVID relief plan that was passed. Take a look at what the president said.
It means more police officers, more nurses, more counselors, more social workers, more community violence interrupters to help resolve issues before they escalate into crimes.
Congressman Banks, you voted against that package, against that $350 billion, just like every other Republican in the House and Senate. So can't you make the argument that it's you and the Republicans who are defunding the police?
These are mainstream media propaganda pushers, and they will push and push to get as many weak-minded people to believe them as they can. People like Chris Wallace, people like Brian Stelter, people like Don Lemon, people like Joy Reid, the sick leftist leaning, leftist corporation owned propaganda pushers. That's what they are. Rational thinking humans. They have to know that Republicans and conservatives are the largest proponents of law and order, and that these sickos on the left want no police, no laws, no jails. They want to dismantle it all. Not all of them. Not every Democrat wants to dismantle the police and dismantle law and order and defund the police and dismantle jails. Sure as hell, Joe Biden didn't want to do that in 1994 like he would like to do now. No. 1994 crime bill. He wanted to spend billions to hire more police, to lock the people up, to hire more judges, to convict those people. And those people meaning all the thousands of black lives he destroyed with this crime bill. All that money to build new prisons, to incarcerate them because of his heavy sentencing, mandatory sentencing for first-time low-level drug offenses. That is the real Joe Biden. The Joe Biden now has no control over what Joe Biden is doing. I still say it. Susan Rice, Barack Obama. They are the handlers. They are the ghost president. They are the ones running this country through the senile, feeble eyes of that old victim they have in a blue suit in the Oval Office. It's really sad. Democrats, they want a socialistic government. They want social credit systems. They want to dismantle out the United States Constitution as we have always known it. They want to tear it apart. The progressive left wants nothing more than a Marxist society. Kink for kids. Yes, you heard that correct. Not that obnoxious commercial Cars for Kids. Good luck getting that jingle out of your head the rest of the day. That is such a ridiculous, obnoxious song. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. I'm not going to sing it, but all I had to do was say it. You're already singing it in your head, and you're probably saying, God damn it, that idiot. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, this is just more sickness that is spread and pushed leftist agenda in that LGBT, all those letters, community. Kink for kids. It's a thing, people. It's a thing. The LGBTQRSTXYZ community, they want to promote to kids. They want to promote and expose kids to kink so they can learn about it. It's just hard to say. Kink. When you think of kink, we all know where our minds go. We're all adults. We're adults. That's the point. We're adults. Do whatever you want behind your closed doors. Leave the kids out of it. But no, public kink for kids. In other words, sick child grooming tactics by progressives in this ridiculous alphabet community. And it wasn't always a ridiculous community. Okay, but it has evolved into sickness, danger, and call me whatever you want, but it is. Stay the hell away from the kids. Stay the hell away from the schools. Have some human decency. Kink for kids. I'm going to read an article by the leftist Washington Post. I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's a few paragraphs I want to read to you. And the article's called, Yes, Kink Belongs at Pride, and I Want My Kids to See It. Children need to know what they can make, that they can make their own ways in the world. All right, hold on. Absolutely, kids can make their own way in the world. But how much influence do we have to give them? We should influence them for good things, for, you know, things that should be accepted in society, like learning and education, the right education, not indoctrination. Being respecting their fellow human and not judging them by the color of their skin or anything else, disability, religion, whatever it might be, to look past all that and to know the person, to teach them a good work ethic, not wanting to sit home stuffing their faces with Hot Pockets on your couch while playing Xbox like the kids today. We have to change that generation. We have to crack it, because if we don't, the society's world is doomed. So yes, it's important that we have let our children make their own way, but with guidance, the right guidance, not kink. So this Washington Post, this, yes, kink belongs at Pride. Our family often took the train into Philadelphia, but as we rode across the bridge to attend the city's Pride Parade 5 years ago, my wife's leg bounced with a nervous jitter. She squeezed my hand, worried that she might run into a colleague or be harassed by a stranger. My wife is trans and wasn't out at the time, so she typically only expressed her authenticity in the privacy of our home. That morning, she wore a green skirt and light makeup, brushing her hair all to one side. Even though we'd attended Pride marches and protests in previous years, that day was our first celebrating openly as a family. When our children grew tired of marching, we plopped onto a nearby curb. Just as we got settled, our elementary schooler pointed in the direction of oncoming floats. Raising an eyebrow at a bare-chested man in dark sunglasses whose black suspenders clipped into a leather thong, the man paused to be spanked playfully by a partner with a flock. "What are they doing?" my curious kid asked as our toddler cheered them on. The pair was the first of a few dozen kinksters who danced down the street, laughing together as they twirled their whips and batons, some leading companions by leashes. I got to stop for a second. I'm going to throw up. So we have an elementary schooler, which could be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So if you're in third grade, you're like 8. And then a toddler. All right, so your wife is trans. So I guess that means, so I obviously we won't know for sure because the article is going to be very politically correct. Are the kids, is it a woman maybe that wants to be a man? Or is it a man, biological man dressed up as a woman and these children are adopted? I don't know. Not that it matters. What matters is, they just described a guy in black suspenders in a thong. I can picture it. It's something out of The Village People. Well, you see those guys at that old movie, Police Academy, the Blue Oyster Bar with the assless chaps. Those of you who have children, I have a kid, 8 years old. Do you want your 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? Maybe 13. Do you want them seeing grown men spanking each other with flogs, wearing leather thongs and suspenders, the toddlers cheering them on? I mean, tell me in the comments what you think about this. Leading companions by leashes. This is the kink at Pride Parade that they want to bring their children to and influence them and brainwash them. I'm going to continue reading some of this. At the time, my children were too young to understand the nuance of the situation. Oh, do you think? Do you think they're too young to understand that guys are flogging each other wearing leather thongs, you moron? But I told them the truth. Oh, this is good. That these folks were members of our community celebrating who they are and what they like to do. So there it is, your community. So your community, your big accepting community that's not accepting, because anyone who has a problem with this is a bigot because they don't want to see children exposed to guys smacking each other on the ass with flogs and thongs. Celebrating who they are and what they like to do. So, let me continue. The kink community has participated in Pride since its inception, risking their jobs and safety to be authentically themselves in public. Still, every year as Pride Month approaches, a debate erupts about whether kink belongs at Pride at all. I'll end that debate. No, it doesn't. Kink doesn't belong in public. Just like back when Rudy Giuliani was mayor and shut down all those porn theaters because of the crime element that was around it back in the 90s. The privacy of your own home, privacy of someone else's home. Go to somebody's house and have the biggest swinging orgy, leather thong wearing, ass spanking with flog party you want. Leave the kids at home. Otherwise, you just become a sexual predator exposing them to that. And do whatever you want. Flogs, strap-ons, ball gags, zipper, leather masks, whatever you want to do. But leave the kids out of it. Elementary school, toddler, you sick freaks. Call me whatever you want. I'm not going to stay quiet about it. Risking their jobs and safety to be authentically themselves in public? Should risk your freedom if you're exposing children for that, because you should be locked up and charged accordingly, endangering the welfare of a child. You're a sexual predator when it comes to children. Those hoping to oust kinksters often cite the presence of children as their top concern. Well, because they're rational thinking people. Rational thinking people that want to protect children. We have enough crime against kids out there. Human trafficking, sex trafficking. They sell kids as commodities over and over again until they're dead. That was pointedly the case this year when Twitter users urged that kink at Pride is a highly sexualized experience that children should be shielded from. Well, yeah, that's obvious. The sexualization of children should be illegal, and it's creeping into our goddamn public school system. And people are turning a blind eye to it. They're turning a blind eye because they don't want to be that person that gets called a bigot. We're talking about my kid here. Call me whatever the hell you want. Keep the flogs and thongs away from my kid, or you're going to choke on your teeth. Thousands of users supported these posts. Well, yeah. Thousands of rational people that want to shield this disgusting kink ideology and practice from their children. They claim that kink at Pride crosses a line because minors also attend events. I agree that Pride should be a welcoming space for children and teens, but policing how others show up doesn't protect or uplift young people. Really? Really? When you have men dressed up as dogs licking each other in the middle of the street wearing rainbow shorts, that uplifts young people? That uplifts elementary school kids? Then they go on to say instead, homogenizing self-expression at Pride will do more harm to our children than good. No, no, no. No, sorry, kids. This isn't for you. There's sickos in the street licking each other, wearing leather thongs. Sorry. When my own children caught glimpses of kink culture, they got to see that the queer community encompasses so many more non-traditional ways of being, living, and loving. As much as I want them to spend time in queer spaces so they can be with families like their own, I also want them to know that they shouldn't limit their understanding of what relationships or expressions look like to whatever's most familiar. So, in other words, you want to expose your kids to sickness. You want to. Why don't you just bring your kids to a porn theater? Well, instead of watching SpongeBob, why don't you throw on some sick porno for them? What, that's too much? But guys licking each other in the streets? That's okay? Where's the line? Where is the line? I want to see them. I want them to see that they can make their own ways in the world and know that they'll be supported and celebrated by their community. They should be able to make their ways in the world, not shoved down. You're taking minds that are easily molded. They're sponges. Their minds are sponges. They will. You can influence a child into anything. So you're not letting them make their own way. You're grooming your child into this sick lifestyle. What if they don't want to be part of it? They would never know because a 3 or 4 year old, a toddler, doesn't know any better and just knows, well, this is what mommy and mommy, or mommy and daddy, or daddy and mommy, but has a bit. What do you do? And what's sick is the left wants to keep parents from being able to protect their children. Indoctrination, acceptance. That's what, in my opinion, that's what acceptance is these days for them, is indoctrination. It's not acceptance anymore. If we want our children to learn and grow from their experiences at Pride, we should hope that they'll encounter kink when they attend. How else can they learn about the scope and vitality of queer life? So let me get this straight. To learn the scope of queer life, you have to be exposed to kink. That I know gay people. I know gay people that think that that public display of kink is absolutely horrendous. And when they see it, they want no part of it. I know gay people that don't go to Pride events for that reason, because of what these Pride events have been allowed to turn into, and now you're exposing children to it? How else can they learn the scope and vitality of queer life? If they end up wanting to be gay, because you're not born, maybe you are, that's a whole other topic. Is someone born gay, or do they learn to be gay? Do they just become gay? Who knows? No one will ever know. But let the kids experience life on their terms, not on their parents that want to play dress up and wear all these silly, ridiculous outfits and beat each other in the street and lick each other in front of hundreds of people. That is not parenting. I'm going to skip to the last paragraph. I can't read this whole thing. I'll put the link to the article in the show notes. We're almost done with this article, but it's unbelievable, people. If we're afraid to talk about kink with our children, we prioritize the status quo. sanitizing and censoring their access to information about appropriate and normal self-expression. What about adult pornography and the people that work in that industry? I'm not advocating for it. I'm playing devil's advocate for a second. So is that appropriate and normal expression for that industry, for that lifestyle? We're afraid to talk about kink with our children? No, there's a difference between grooming them and if they ask questions. You expose your kid to it and then have to talk about it because they want to know what it is. You know, expose your kid to sports. He'll want to know, or she'll want to know what that is. Expose your kid to music so they want to know more about it and they want to play it, maybe pick up an instrument. Expose your kid to arts and crafts. Maybe you'll have the next Picasso on your hands. Don't expose your kid to public kink in leather thongs in the middle of Times Square so you end up with a drugged out go-go dancer or gay bar bartender as a kid. Not saying that's a horrible thing, but let the child decide if they want to do that. Don't groom the child into that lifestyle. I take that back. There is something wrong with being a drug addicted gay bartender in a gay bar. Yeah, there's a lot wrong with that. Get a life. These are the very attitudes that made pride necessary and life affirming for so many of us in the first place, and we have no business imposing them on the next generation. Well, you really have no business imposing kink and sick porno-like tactics in public to children. You should be locked up. You think I'm wrong? Tell me. You agree with me? Tell me. Comment. Tell me. Kink embodies the freedom that pride stands for, reminding attendees to unapologetically take up space as an act of resistance and celebration, refusing to bend to social pressure that asks us to be presentable. It's just being human. It's not asking too much. Can you not flog each other in leather thongs, half naked in the middle of the street, and not lick each other in front of my kid? That's a value I want my children to learn. Affirming the kink community helps our children to love themselves and others with courage and resilience. If my wife and I had seen such fierce and determined role models as young people, we might have learned to be ourselves much sooner. We didn't have that chance, but my children have that community and pride, and I want to keep it that way. I want to see you in jail as a registered sex offender. The exploitation of a minor, that's what I want to see. It's a perversion. Is it okay to be different? Absolutely. Absolutely. Be gay. Go to Pride. Keep the kink off the streets and keep the kink away from children. What's an acceptable age? I don't know. Keep your fetishes behind closed doors, not in Times Square. Grooming and indoctrinating of children. What's next? What's next? The acceptance of pedophilia? We know that goes on in some parts of the world and in that community. You know, there are some people in that LGBTQRST community that say, well, age shouldn't matter. You sick bastards. That's already here among really sick people. You know, in the old days, I'm 42 years old. My parents never had the talk with me. I didn't need it, though. I wasn't a degenerate. Not saying you need it. But, you know, when dad wants to have a talk with his son who's about to hit puberty about the birds and the bees, and that when he's out there and he meets girls and finds them attractive, to do things the safe way, and what does it mean? Do you know what sex is? Do you know everything there is to know about it, that you should know about it? That's not grooming children. That's showing, that's being a responsible adult, showing them how to be safe and to know what they're going to be exposed to as a teenager. It's not bringing your elementary school age child to a pride parade again with the sick actions of people wearing masks, licking each other, walking on leashes, and everything else. No, that's grooming children into a lifestyle. That's indoctrinating children into a lifestyle. And in that lifestyle, like any lifestyle, but that lifestyle, there are some sick and twisted people that will exploit and take advantage and abuse and assault and worse to those children. And it's really sad. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a parent, if you're a parent, do not ever, 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 ever be afraid to speak up against any of that nonsense. If you see it in the schools, you better go to a school board meeting. If you see, just, you can't do anything when it's not your kid. There are sickos out there that are going to expose their kids to this no matter what. I think there should be laws against it. It should not be allowed in public. It's just really, really, really sick. And conservatives, you know, real conservatives feel the same way I do about that. Keep it away from kids. Keep it out of public. What you do behind the closed doors is no problem. I'm sorry again, but going out there in ridiculous outfits, doing pretty much sex acts in public is not representing your queer community. No. No. Kink and queer are two completely different things, and they're lumping it together. And people in that community should be in an uproar about it. I know people that I know in that community that are in an uproar about it. Just remember, people, watch and protect your kids and what they're doing and what they're saying. That's it. Protect your kids. So, I wasn't going to address the whole Bill Cosby overturning of his conviction thing, but I'm hearing so many different sides and takes on it, so I figured, hey, why the hell not? I have some opinion on it. I read a couple things about it. I think some people might have some confused or misconstrued theories on it. But once again, they're theories, so I guess they can't be misconstrued. But I'm gonna give you my take on it. But, you know, let me be clear. You know, by his own admission, by Bill Cosby's own admission, in a civil case deposition, he's absolutely a sexual predator. He admitted to it in the civil case prior to his criminal case. He drugged women, Bill Cosby. He took advantage of them. He had quaaludes. He was in his 30s. It was back in the 70s. That was the party drug, whatever. He did it, but he admitted to it. It's like a horrible date rape movie on Lifetime, but involving one of the best comedians this world has ever seen and his pudding pop. Too soon? Whatever. I mean, listen, anyone who's going to assault women, take advantage of them, and drug them, they're disgusting. Bill Cosby, he's disgusting for it. Should he be in jail? Yes. I'd say worse, even, for the things that he did for a lot of women. And here's the thing. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a law scholar. I'm just going off of, this is strictly my opinion based on what I read. So this woman, Andrea Constrand, she was assaulted, one of the women assaulted by Bill Cosby, which he admitted to. After she had accused him, apparently there was some questions about her timing and her credibility and why did she wait so long and all this other stuff that comes with those cases. I'm not discrediting her at all, by the way. I want to be clear about that. I'm not saying she's a liar. I'm not saying she made it up. I believe her. You know, back then, things were different. Bill Cosby. I've heard some stories about a lot of things that went on with things he was involved with. I'm just talking by the numerous articles that I read. I read some of the civil suit paperwork. So she accuses Bill Cosby, and I think it was like around 2005, for the sexual assault. And during the civil suit deposition, Bill Cosby admits to the crime. But, in the interests of settling the case civilly, whatever exactly transpired, in other words, with a lot of money, the prosecutor at the time, he went into a non-prosecution agreement with Bill Cosby. So this was basically an order, from what I gather, in order to move along with the civil suit, which now the victim, Andrea Constrand, this specific victim, she had to agree in order to settle. She had to agree to all this. So there was some sort of agreement. And by the way, the victim, Andrea Constrand, she settled the civil suit with Bill Cosby for almost $3.4 million. You know, it's not chump change. It's not a lot of money, but it's not chump change. I guess that was the appropriate settlement amount that she was okay with to make it go away, I guess. And we know that this day and age, money seems to heal all wounds, a lot of wounds. I mean, look at the George Floyd case. I think the city paid the Floyd family like $27 million before they even had the criminal trial, I believe. I think it was $27 million before they convicted Derek Chauvin for George Floyd's overdose. Anyway, so the pudding pot master, Bill Cosby, listen, all kidding aside, though, you know, is he a piece of shit? Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Was he funny? Yeah, I love, still to this day, I love Bill Cosby stand up. One of my favorites is Bill Cosby himself. I remember watching it with my grandfather when I was little. I mean, it's just hilarious. Everything he did was hilarious. But it is what it is. You're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit. So Bill Cosby pays the victim around $3.4 million. So you figure done, right? You know, settled the whole thing. The first prosecutor, he leaves. The first prosecutor that entered into this non-prosecution agreement with Bill Cosby, he leaves, retires, leaves, whatever it is. I don't know. The new prosecutor that takes this guy's place, he decides, wait a minute, what is this? This guy needs to be arrested and put on trial, obviously. Which I agree, 1,000%. He should have been arrested based off his admission. He admitted to the crime. But again, they neglected and failed to realize, maybe the guy just ignored it, that non-prosecution agreement that they had in the civil case with the previous prosecutor. And then you think, yeah, but wait, Bill Cosby admitted to drugging and raping this poor woman, amongst others. I don't know how many he admitted to. Well, yeah, he did, but then we have to look at it. The law's the law, no matter who it favors, right? We don't like it. Look at the Casey Anthony case. She should be rotting in jail. But I have an opinion on that, too. The prosecutor was so greedy, he wanted, first-degree murder, which it wasn't first-degree murder. First-degree murder has intent. She caused the death of her child, yeah. Maybe they should have charged Casey Anthony different, and she'd maybe still be in jail, or she in jail or convicted. I feel like this is the same thing. They have this non-prosecution agreement, and he admitted to it. We don't always have to agree with the way the justice system plays out. So then what was it? After what, like 2 years being in jail, Cosby's lawyers, I believe they got to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, one of the high courts in Pennsylvania, to hear the case. And what was the result? They overturned the conviction because of this non-prosecutorial agreement. I can't even get the words out. They have an agreement. They couldn't lock him up. Civil case. That's what it was. And what happens? They release him from jail. An admitted rapist. I drugged her. I did what he did in a deposition. And he was locked up. Now, it's interesting. So what happens now? And I don't know. I'm not an attorney. If there's an attorney that hears this, maybe they want to weigh in. Comment. Send me an email. Can Bill Cosby sue the jurisdiction that arrested him? The jurisdiction that sent him to trial? Being that he was imprisoned, and I guess by law wrongfully imprisoned because he wasn't supposed to be prosecuted. And he was prosecuted and convicted. You know, the judicial system failed here. The prosecution failed. Everything failed. That non-prosecution agreement should have never happened. But you know what? Maybe if they didn't have a civil suit, maybe if this victim didn't sue him, maybe she should have waited and had him prosecuted. And then he'd be in jail. We wouldn't have this issue with the non-prosecution agreement. And then maybe she could sue his estate, just like, you know, all the Jeffrey Epstein people are. He's dead. Didn't kill himself, by the way. And they're suing his estate. Maybe she could have done that. But she sued before. I've always heard that in a case like this. You don't sue the person before the criminal trial because it could really screw up the criminal trial depending on what agreements are made in the civil trial, what's said, hence this case. But now Bill Cosby, I mean, the guy's got, he wants to make a documentary. And unfortunately, the famous will stay famous and continue to succeed. He's talking about a comedy tour, write a book. I mean, the guy has one foot in the grave. He can barely walk. He's half dead. He's like 83 years old. And he's going to go out there and make, I'm sure they'll make a documentary, but a comedy tour, writing a book. I mean, this ought to get interesting. Bottom line, money isn't always everything. And money does not heal all wounds by any means. And in this case, I think that's evident of it. So I'm going to leave it there. I want to thank everybody. Remember, get over to the website, The Great Divide, 1776.com. Keep your heads up. You got to fight the good fight. Midterms are coming up. Get out there. Vote. If you can get people to register to vote, even better. There are some amazing people out there. Working hard every day, having voting registration drives, phone banks, trying to get moderates, independents, just registered as Republicans to vote, to flip the House. Let's get it done. It's the only way we're going to get normalcy back in this country after what's going on now. All right, everybody, The Great Divide, 1776.com. I will talk to you all soon. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.